319! 399!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The second pick. The New York Jets select.
It'll be Zach Wilson, then all of a sudden Mac Jones, and then all of a sudden Justin Fields, and it'll be, no, it's Zach Wilson. And then they'll take all the way down to 0 seconds, and everybody's going to be like, what the hell are they waiting for?
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, five-time NBA All-Star Chris Webber, Fox Sports rules analyst Mike Pereira, plus, two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Long. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All righty, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host sitting here in Los Angeles, California, wearing purple. That's what I'm doing. Feeling blue. Feeling blue. Best dad ever. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Better than you, Rich.
Good to see you, Mike Del Tufo.
Good to
How
see
are you,
Rich. Sorry, Rich Eisen.
How are you over there, TJ Jefferson? Good to see you.
I'm still basking in the glory of The Price is Right, Rich. I got to be.
Well, yeah, you are.
Hold on a second now. Did he win?
Hold on a second now. That's Fight Club. We're purposefully avoiding peppering you with questions about your post-Rich Eisen Show Monday trip to the set of The Price is Right, assuming that you did get called to come on down and win cash and prizes and did in fact, get the possible, most possible money for your bonus on the spin and all of that stuff, and then got to the pricing games and the showcase showdown in which you won not one but two because you got within $100 of the final total. We're assuming you cleaned up. Yeah. We haven't asked him any questions.
We
on
haven't.
That front.
I mean, we're
and
avoiding
you just
it.
Went there, and I appreciate you doing that because you know I'll talk about The Price is Right anytime, and that makes me happy, and I'd like to be happy.
Yeah.
And right now,
are you?
I'm not happy.
Yeah,
I'm not happy. Came on the air on Monday and talked about how unhealthy it is, how much I get into the NCAA tournament. When anybody's school wins an NCAA tournament game, it just seems to be out of balance compared to what should delight you and what should not, and how your emotions get tied into stuff. And so, you know, I'm very fortunate what I get to do for a living. The no cheering in the press box thing kind of did knock out a lot of ancillary fan rooting interest for me. Mm-hmm. You know, you could see, I think you could, you know, anybody who's a consumer of this program in any way, shape, or form or has followed my career, thank you for that. Since I appeared on SportsCenter in 1996 all the way to the present day. 25 years, by the way, that's coming up.
Congrats.
Thank you, sir. Actually, the anniversary passed, but we didn't even mention it because it was March Madness. It happened earlier this month. Right. 25 years ago was my first SportsCenter.
You should celebrate this.
You should retell the story of your audition for ESPN.
I've got a lot of stories about that. But it was 25 years ago this past month, this very month here.
Well, happy anniversary.
Where I just did, because it was the Sweet 16 of the 1996 tournament, which I debuted on SportsCenter. And so, you know, it gets me. The Jets get me. The Yankees get me. And James Dolan just can get me because I've given up my Knicks fandom because of that man. And then it's all Michigan sports. So last night, settle into my chair, and I've got it all set up. The it being Michigan's the one seed, taking on an 11th seed team that was starting in the first four. And I was absolutely believing all the hype. I've watched their games. I watched the UCLA Bruins games. And appreciated their moxie, but that's all they were supposed to have was just moxie, and it was supposed to run out of gas in the regional final against a one-seeded Michigan team that was without their best players in Isaiah Livers and all that good stuff. But it's supposed to be Juwan Howard's time. At least that's the way I was viewing it. It's Juwan Howard's time to get back to the Final Four. How many coaches have ever played in a Final Four and then coached in a Final Four? That's got to be a very small subset of individuals who have ever walked planet Earth. And not only was I prepared for it, I'll be very honest with you. Our first guest on this program was supposed to celebrate this thing. Chris Webber, his Fab Five teammate. Instead of us celebrating that together, we will be hugging each other out and crying in our respective figurative beers. Thanks to the new curse word in the state of Michigan, it's juzang.
Juzang.
Seen enough of that kid.
That dude can play.
That kid, Johnny Juzang, showed up. And I will tell you what. in order to win an NCAA tournament game when you are not expected to win, you need a lot of things to go in your favor, and you need a lot of bring a lot of things to the table. You need to bring a great coach who knows what he is doing or she is doing, and you need to bring a great game plan to the table. You need to bring a great defense to the table. You need to bring a great amount of concentration and execution to the table. And you need to have somebody who shows up and says, this is my day. This is my time. This is my shot. That rim is as wide as the ocean, and I am going to I'm just going to spin it right in there. I'm going to release rotation splash, to use the Kilbourne phrase that I learned prior to my first SportsCenter 25 years ago this month. And Johnny Juzang was just that, because UCLA was playing great defense in the first half of that game, the first half of the first half of that game. No one else was scoring, but Johnny Juzang was. And just when the Wolverines took a 7-point lead in the first half of that game because UCLA couldn't shoot straight, Michigan wasn't scoring at will either. And that was a time where Michigan had a chance to just douse the flame. And Juzang was the one who said, that's not going to happen. Scored 14 of the first 16 of UCLA's points, 28 overall, came back after turning his ankle. Left the game in the second half when Michigan went on a 9-0 run to catch back up. But just when Michigan would peek its head above water and get a little bit of a lead, slight bit of a lead, one possession lead, 1-point lead, it was UCLA doing it. And I tip my cap to the Bruins. They were the better team in the regional final last night, and they are going from the first four to the final four. You cannot win a basketball game when you miss, I think, what was it, the last 10 shots, 11 shots? Michigan had so many shots.
Eight to 10, yeah.
And 5 minutes straight to end the
game
without
a bucket. And it's just one of those things, you're just so frustrated because the looks are open and, you know, the layups are there. And it looks like they're going to go in because they've gone in all year. And instead, they just rebound off the top of the glass, the top of the square. And just rebounds off at a weird angle. And it's just like, my God, what is happening? It's a slow motion car wreck. And I once again got from my awesome, lovely wife, Susie Schuster, in the room where I watch all the games in my house that I bought from a Michigan State graduate a few years ago. I get my wife.
My wife.
Oh, honey. Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you think she meant it?
She does. She means it. She knows how much. You know, Dom Bowie, who's USC Trojans, got boat raced by Gonzaga beforehand.
Did they ever?
You know, showing, you know, Franz Wagner with an open look, 3.2 seconds left on the shot clock. I mean, ball's about to be released from his hand, so it would have been good if it counted. I mean, he had an air ball with 11 seconds left. I'm not one of those guys that comes on here and, you know, criticizes somebody who's 18 to 21. And I know that they're college basketball players at a high level. And, you know, what we do here is to have a critical eye. It just wasn't their night. Wasn't their night. And you tip your cap to UCLA. And I will sit here and say this. Everybody thinks it's Gonzaga's tournament to win. It is. Everybody thinks it's going to be Gonzaga's tournament that they're going to win. I just saw my team, the one seed, and you could sit here and say Michigan would have gotten boat raced by Gonzaga, too. I wouldn't put anything past UCLA here.
No, me neither.
Not at this point.
At all. They got the size. They got the strength. They've got the defensive prowess. They held Michigan to 49 points. Michigan wasn't in its game all night long last night. They've got the feeling.
Yep.
You got to play a playing game to win the tournament, to get in the tournament. Because Oregon State just won your conference tournament.
Right.
Right? I would think UCLA would have gotten the spot in the tournament. Wouldn't have had a play in if Oregon State didn't win, right? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of chess pieces that you can move around. There could have been another team from another conference that would have gotten, like, Oregon State winning the Pac-12 burst someone else's bubble. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Bottom line is UCLA had to play in to get in. They were down by double digits to Michigan State. And, you know, I tip my cap to them. And I can't sit here and say UCLA has no shot against Gonzaga. Anybody who says that is out of their freaking minds.
Gonzaga looks really good, though, man.
Right. So, you know, as you know, we had a show called The Eisenhower on here on Epix. I do I do The Grind, the NFL The Grind on Epix. The president of Epix, his name is Michael Wright. He's a UCLA grad. We had a bottle of wine on it last night.
Ooh.
So, Michael, enjoy your Bartles and James. It'll be great. We didn't say that was isn't Bartles and James, it's wine, right?
It's wine.
You cool it, right?
Yes, wine.
Does it come in a box or?
I don't care.
Yeah, it's six pack.
Give him some Boone's.
He'll let me know when it arrives at his house.
What flavor?
No, I'll pay it off.
Oh.
You know, Bruin flavor. I don't know, man, but all UCLA fans should be so fired up because this is it. This is the Cinderella story, an 11 seed. Yeah. I believe if I heard correct last night, was it Shaquille O'Neal's LSU team? Was it the Dale Brown coached LSU team of the 80s was the last 11 seed? I don't know if Shaq was the 11 seed team, but was the last 11 seed to beat a 1 and a 2 in a
last double-digit seed to beat a 1 and a 2.
Which they just did. They just knocked off Alabama and Michigan in back-to-back games.
Like, no big deal.
Those kids from UCLA have to be, like, they're using that, like, nobody wanted this. They didn't think we should be here. We shouldn't be here.
Exactly.
And now they've got to feel like no one can touch us right now.
What a feeling that must be.
Man.
I mean, that's how we feel coming to work every day.
Pretty much.
Facts.
And good for you, Mick Cronin. I mean, and his dad's there.
And his dad. They keep showing his dad in the stands.
I know. It's just like CBS and TBS, they choose the one person in the stands, right? It was Jalen Rose for Michigan last night.
Jalen Rose.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's Mick Cronin's dad. Obviously, Sister Jean got some run always. Let's get the cutaway shot to the nun. By the way, great fantasy team name, Nun Cutaway Shot. Oh my God! Help me! Can I get a break around here?
Not from a Seton
Hall
fan.
Can I get a break around? I know, I get it.
Rich, the Jets are taking Mac Jones. Like it's all
good.
All good in the hood, man. Yeah. Mac Jones.
You pipe down over there because you think I'm going to be sitting there on draft night, fourth on the clock. All the Atlanta Falcons have traded out. Bill Belichick's actually going to come get a young quarterback.
We have a trade.
He's actually going to go put his Belichick hoodie blue check mark right on a prospect and ride or die with that person and sit him next to Cam Newton and say, Cam, you're now the Kansas City, the Patriot version of the Kansas City Alex Smith and go. So, good luck to that. Good luck to Bill, just like,
woohoo.
It feels good to not have to worry about a quarterback this draft.
Like, every Patriot
fan, for 20 years.
Every Patriot fan is hoping free agency Bill shows up as draft Bill. Okay. Like that he's still punch drunk from his free agency spending. And Nike the dog hit send on your draft idea. That's the wrong one.
I know, but it's funny.
How dare you play the ESPN draft music?
The audacity of this guy.
He's already like reeling.
The audacity.
I mean, how many kicks in the nuts can a man take?
That's the dagger. You know,
we're going to find out today.
It's Bill Rafter would say, that's the dagger.
Dude.
Onions.
Onions.
From Weed Downtown. Onions on you.
Like a shot to the onions.
The man who probably mic'd me up for the first NFL Network draft coverage of 2005.
Send it in, Jerome.
Like, get the NFL Network.
This is my 17th NFL draft I'm hosting, buddy. I'm now the dean of this thing.
Rich Eisen.
Have some respect. Put some respect on that.
I can't lie to you, Dean Warmer.
Draft jingle.
Respect this man, Mike.
As if there's not enough for me to deal with today. Mm. I'm going to turn this into me right here. At least an Ohio State guy didn't come up with the biggest NFL scoop of the day. Oh, wait a minute. Albert Breer had Nick Caserio on his podcast. the general manager of the Houston Texans. Talk about a timely guest. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is take a break. We'll come back and unpack that. I have not one but two segments for all of you out there in the NBC Sports on Peacock universe, or the Rich Eisen Show radio, terrestrial and satellite networks out there. Not one but two 17-game segments. Because as you know, the NFL has... They didn't expand the schedule. What did they do, Chris?
No, no,
what did they
sorry,
do?
It was,
they enhanced the mechanism or something like that?
Let me go back and find
they released the schedule Kraken. Is that what they did? They enhanced something.
And it's genius.
So not only, well, I guess three. We're going to be talking to Chris Long, former NFL player and Super Bowl champion, not once but twice. He's going to be joining us. I wonder what the players think. You know, we know what Alvin Kamara thought about now 17 regular season games. And I have not one but two. I'm going to take a look at some sneaky good games that were just added to the schedule, because the 17th game, not only do we know there's going to be a 17th game, we know what the games are because they're AFC teams hosting NFC teams from a designated division cross conference. We already know them. And a couple of the games that jumped out at people, Packers Chiefs got added to the schedule yesterday. Patriots Cowboys, remarkably, as a third place game, okay, which I will relish in reminding both of you idiots on this set. Pardon me, I'm in a mood. Both of you, moron number one and moron number two, to use the Midnight Run phrases.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to remind both of you honks.
Thank you.
Wait a second. When the game hits, when it will invariably be on Monday, Sunday, or Thursday Night Football, I'll remind both of you it's a third place game from the 2020 season and the 2021 season.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's old stuff,
that's
though.
That's fine. Yeah, old news.
Everybody's talking about that, but we always look beneath the radar. And then also later on this show, I took a look at what the all-time... I didn't take a look. I asked NFL Network Research to do it for me.
We assumed.
To take a look at what is the best 17-game stretch in NFL history for a handful of single-season... what would normally be single-season records, mm-hmm. most passing yards, most rushing yards, and so on and so forth, of a 17-game stretch, to give you an idea of what the new benchmark to reach, what the new record to break would possibly be.
Okay.
As now the 16-game marks will cause the 17-game marks to have a little bit of an asterisk to it. That's coming up on the show. And Mike Pereira is going to be joining us, because I do believe it's today that the NFL is going to vote on a couple of rule changes. That's not the pylon fumbling issue the end zone issue that I have been raging about. Okay. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We have so much to talk about. And I'll be honest, I would thought Chris Webber and I would be having a celebratory conversation. We will not be. How many times can a man get kicked in the nards? Thank you, Mike. Is that tough to ask? Jeez. Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep, because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're back on the Rich Eisen Show, talking to my friends in air quotes.
Rich,
thinking of just going, because for our radio audience on Peacock, not only do you get to see our beautiful smiling faces or my misery in person, but during the radio breaks that we have, they're longer than the breaks that we have on Peacock. So we come back and we play some of our archive material, which, by the way, you can get on our YouTube feed that is, we're very pleased with these days, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. You can go down a wormhole. Any rate, so we show some of our best of stuff. And one piece that you guys were preparing to play was Graham Rahal's appearances here on this show, where I had to pay off bets losing to the Ohio State fan wearing Ohio State material. You were planning on
I would say planning today is an unfair characterization.
Yeah. Planning not
I would
not
say
word.
It was discussed briefly.
Brought up in conversation,
brought
perhaps.
Up quickly as a possibility.
You touched up.
We touched up. Upon.
You touched and let go.
And we moved on to something more fun and lighthearted.
Like Boban.
Like Boban soup.
His appearance here.
Boban, true or false.
Okay.
Very funny.
And I love Boban. Who doesn't love Boban?
Who doesn't love Boban?
Boban makes you happy. Boban came in here to promote John Wick 3.
True. Which he has a brief cameo.
Correct.
Rich, to quote the great Jeff Ross, we only roast the ones we love.
Okay, thanks very much, everybody. And you mentioned Jeff Ross. Okay, very good.
Very good. I'm sorry.
Yeah, try that when Weber's on the phone. Okay, guys? Nah, you won't. No. Just me. All right. Webb will be joining us top of the next hour.
Okay.
So, the news of the day in the NFL, there's a couple things going on here. Pro days. And this is going to be a tough pro day for the Philadelphia Eagles. Not going to lie. This is a tough day of pro days for the Philadelphia Eagles, because Ja'Marr Chase literally jumped out of the state of Louisiana, right? Okay. It's either, I don't know, did he vertically jump out, or did he broad jump out, or did he run out? Whichever way he left the state of Louisiana.
Exactly.
He did. Okay. He ran the Moses Malone, right? So what do you run? No, you ran the 4.38.
Oh, yeah. We ran a 4.38.
Kyle Pitts, the tight end in Florida,
he ran
the Moses Malone. And look, I am not one to.
You want some numbers?
Well, I'm talking about Pitts first.
Okay,
then we'll get to Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah. Well, I can get both.
But in terms of Pitts, the tight end, and I'm not one to nitpick. I'm not one to talk even.
Okay.
On the subject of running 40s and what you look like. I know what you're supposed to look like. All right? I'm not able to look like that person. As a matter of fact, our show logo of me running in the suit, which I'm showing up here on the mug, that's been part of our branding ever since we started this show almost 7 years ago. The right leg that is up in the show logo was actually computer generated to be moved back underneath my body as more of a proper running stance. The actual accurate silhouette that was initially put in front of me for the Rich Eisen Show did have my right knee flailed outside of the frame of my body. That was then computer generated to be moved back in as a more upright and proper running stance. Full admission.
I admire you for that.
So that said, just take a look at Kyle Pitts' 40-yard dash. He's all over the place. He is weaving. Yeah, I mean, because it's done in the middle of the field. It's not done on the sideline like it is during He ran down the hash.
Actually.
Okay, he ran down the hash. If you take a look at it, he's weaving all over the place.
Yeah.
And that's not good. It makes you slower. And he still ran a 4.44. The Moses Malone.
All right, here's some Kyle Pitts.
Holy crap.
Here's some numbers, Rich. As you mentioned, 4.44, 40. 3.5 inch vertical, 33.5, a 10.9 broad jump. And this is the number that everyone is losing their mind over. He has an 83-inch wingspan.
Oh, my God.
83-inch. That is larger than any wide receiver or tight end in the NFL in the last 20 years.
Oh, my goodness.
He is 6'5 and 5'8", 245 pounds.
And that is insane. And so the wingspan you can easily translate into what is called the catch radius.
Yes.
In the NFL game.
That is
somebody throws an inaccurate pass, you have a you can just got to be within 7 feet of his frame and he's got a shot at it.
Correct.
Right? Okay. So there's that. And then Ja'Marr Chase ran sub 4.4, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're 6 foot at wide receiver if you've got a 41-inch vertical leap. And the broad jump is translatable in the fact of the burst, okay? Because that's the sort of burst you can get. It was over 11 feet was his broad jump?
11 feet exactly, 132 inches.
The reason why I bring up that this is a tough pro day for the Philadelphia Eagles is because Eagles fans had their eyes on one of those two kids at 6 overall.
Yeah.
Sitting there at 6 overall, you're figuring through the configuration, to use another Midnight Run phrase, maybe I'll drop a Midnight Run phrase in every segment of this show just to get me through the Michigan Blues. But if you can figure the first 5 picks of the draft, you're figuring there could even be 4 quarterbacks, 3 quarterbacks, and then a tackle, and then one of these two players would be available at 6. And the Eagles and the Eagles fans who are absolutely starving, salivating for a through-the-roof, crazy, sick, talented target for one of their quarterbacks, whoever that is going to be, and it does appear to be Jalen Hurts.
I would imagine.
They're thinking, okay, that was one of ours, and they traded out. Thinking about next year. Let's not get one of those kids for Jalen Hurts. They're still going to get someone supremely talented 12th overall or have a shot at somebody supremely talented 12th overall. We're assuming. They might be too far down, but that's why I'm saying this is a tough pro day for the Philadelphia. They'll get through it. And they might get someone supremely talented at 12, and then for next year, they could have 3 first-round picks, and that doesn't help the case now. Today is kind of going to be for Philadelphia. I can only imagine what the sports talk radio universe in Philadelphia will sound like today with these numbers.
PIX or something?
No, that's New York.
Oh.
So there's that. And you're taking Ja'Marr Chase and you're essentially saying, okay, Joe Burrow, you did well with T. Higgins. How about your other wide receiver being your wide receiver from college? In which you threw 60 touchdown passes.
60 touchdowns.
Okay. How about that? And then the Dolphins are sitting there and, you know, if you're thinking that the Dolphins with their system that defensively, because of their head coach, is a Patriot system, right? When you say that?
Defensively, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But offensively, what about 2 tight ends? What about Gesicki and Pitts?
Oh, mama.
For Tua.
Oh, mama.
Now, okay. You know, certainly if Chase is going to wind up with Burrow, a lot of people will say, how about Waddle for Tua, right?
Right.
Let's
Javonte Smith.
Right. Or yeah. Smith. Let's get either one of his collegiate wide receivers who are crazy sick talented for him. But you got to sit here and think, all right, 2 tight ends for Tua? Easy throws?
Safe
quick throws? Safe throws?
Dude.
What do you think about that?
Cool. I would love
that. I wasn't even thinking about that this morning, but you are dead on.
Anything to keep him out of Philly for me
I bet. I bet. So that's one story in the NFL today. Other story, our friend, good friend of the program, and my good friend, despite his texts, he took it easy on me last night, but despite his texts throughout the tournament.
He didn't go fritzy on you?
No, I didn't. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated and the MMQB, for his podcast, got Nick Caserio, the general manager of the Houston Texans, on his show. He spoke to him Monday. It posted today. So I spoke to Albert today prior to coming in. Just wanted to bounce a couple of ideas off him about what I was thinking because I hadn't really heard the soundbite yet. I got an email from the NFL Network news desk on the soundbites on the subject matter of Deshaun Watson in particular. Now, as we all know, the tenor of Deshaun Watson's situation, which is a phrase that we always use in the sports world, is a crutch to explain a lot of stuff. The word situation doesn't even begin to express or explain properly what's going on with Deshaun Watson. Now, I do believe two more civil lawsuits have been filed against Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, we're at 21 now.
21 women have now spoken to the lawyer Tony Busby in Houston to say that Deshaun Watson, and based on all of the 21 lawsuits or claims filed civilly, claim anything from untoward and disturbing behavior to what sounds like criminal behavior to me. And one massage therapist spoke to Sports Illustrated under an alias to corroborate what some of the claims have said. This massage therapist said Deshaun never touched her and never demanded he touch her and didn't force himself on her, but the behavior is disturbing and shocking, to be honest with you. And she said she didn't want to be part of this, I guess what's becoming a class civil action, because she was uncomfortable with the document that the lawyer who's been honchoing all this wanted her to sign. And subsequently, yesterday on Instagram, the lawyer, Tony Busby, said he was not going to actually file any of this stuff, any of this evidence, with the Houston Police Department, which he's had a personal problem with and a professional problem with in his mind for years. And the reason why he's not going to even file it now is because the lawyer that's representing Deshaun Watson, Rusty Harden, has a son who works in a part of the police department. And thus, what, the whole entire police department can't handle or give justice to 21 women because of something personal with the lawyer? The whole thing is just weird and bizarre and strange, to say the least, and shocking, all of it. So, Albert brought this up with Nick Caserio, who basically said that they're still waiting this thing out, essentially, on Deshaun Watson, that this whole situation needs to play out. And then Albert, once he brought up this with Caserio, then moved on to the football aspect of it. And in terms of that, we've heard from Albert, we've heard from so many people, we've heard from so many different members of the NFL media world that Caserio's told everyone to, if you will, pound sand, right?
Right.
Said you can, I think it was Albert, he came on Monday, right? And he said that Caserio's telling everyone, I think he's the one who's telling us this, because again, we're fortunate to have so many people on this program talking about these subject matters. He's the one who said that Caserio's like, you could talk to me about anybody with a quarterback, right?
Pretty much.
So listen to this exchange, if you don't mind, between Caserio and Albert Breer on his podcast, The Albert Breer Show. Listen to this exchange between all of them and tell me if you hear the phrase at all or the sense at all that we are not trading Deshaun Watson, which has been the whole concept. He's our quarterback, and we're not trading him. He's our quarterback for now, or the sense that he's told people we're not trading him. Give a listen.
Okay, you have said that Deshaun is your quarterback and you plan for Deshaun to be your quarterback. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I think we'll take it one day at a time. And, you know, I think everything is pretty fluid here. And we'll, you know, we'll adjust as we go. And ultimately, okay, I think we'll do what we feel is best for the Houston Texans organizationally.
Okay. So you'd be open to a trade?
I think ultimately we'll do what we feel is best for the organization.
Okay. Have you talked to him?
Yeah, I don't want to get into any comment about what conversations have taken place with players. I think I've talked to a lot of different players. You know, those conversations are private. And those conversations are to remain between the respective parties, and I think that's out of respect to everybody involved.
Okay, now, if this wasn't such a serious subject matter, I would have you play the "What Were They Really Thinking" drop it. I don't think it really fits here. You know what this sounds like to me? This sounds like to me, maybe this is the situation stuff that has changed the approach. This sounds like to me a general manager saying, I'll take your phone calls on Deshaun Watson. Or potentially a general manager. Obviously, I'm throwing darts at a board here, but I'm just using my experience of being in the NFL and hearing how general managers and talent evaluators and coaches and owners who can speak on behalf of a franchise or are comfortable doing that, just listening for buzzwords and listening to tone and stuff like that, just putting all together. It sounds like a general manager who might not be getting any calls about Deshaun Watson these days. And that,
I mean, it would make sense.
And that if you call him, you're not going to get the answer of anything but okay, what are you talking about? Not like it's anybody but the quarterback. That's what that sounds like to me. Albert said, "Are you willing to accept take on a trade?" And the response is, "We'll do anything that's best for the team." Okay, all right.
Wow.
So what would it look like? Well, if you're the Dolphins, what it would look like is 6th overall pick and Tua? Would you do that for Deshaun Watson right now? What if you're able to say that the other first round picks that you're throwing in are contingent on Deshaun Watson playing? That the risk that you're taking is just for the draft this year, not for next year. What about that? What about that if you're Denver? What about that if you're Carolina? What about that if you're that there's some sort of mitigation involved? That sounds like a general manager that's willing to discuss and talk and ruminate and take a look at the situation. Right?
I think so.
We take it one day at a time. Ultimately, we'll do what we feel is best for the organization. Is not, he's our quarterback.
We're not trading him. Don't call.
Right.
And you got to think about, is Deshaun Watson going to get suspended for next year?
Well, we talked about that with Florio.
Yeah.
Boy, what a day in the NFL. Last day of March. Right. And people asked me when we came on the air in NFL Network in 2003 in November, what are you going to talk about on the last day of March? About everything? How about everything? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls and set up the rest of our show. Mike Pereira is going to be joining us in the next hour. I'll tell you what I'm hearing about what might be on the table for the league owners to vote on to make a rule change or not. That's coming up.
our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on our radio network, all one happy family. Jeff in Detroit, how are you, brother? What's going on, Jeff?
What's going on, Unc? Fellas, wonderful talking to you guys.
Hey, Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Jeff, what's up, bud?
I need a visual hug. You know, I wanted to just say something real quick. I know you haven't been touching much on the Deshaun Watson situation. I'm going to just say this from a former police officer's standpoint. Usually what happens is the attorneys are chomping at the bit to use criminal notes, any type of investigative tool to leverage on the civil side, and it's just funny that all of these suits are coming up and nothing has been filed criminally. You know, I'm just – it's one of those situations where I'm hoping that each and every young lady who's involved in this situation gets the proper justice
that she deserves.
You couldn't have hit
the nail on the head more, Jeff, and that's why I was saying it when I said weird and bizarre and shocking that a lawyer is making statements through Instagram and you know, and there's 21 different cases, but if they want justice, don't
Uncle Rich, I can tell you
don't involve the police.
How many times I've been called from my home on the drop of a dime to go testify in civil court to what I've said criminally, and usually what ends up following is a mediation that's between the two parties, and they end up settling it. You know, it's just, it's weird at this point. Like you said, it's really, really weird, and it makes you say, huh. I'm giving you guys a virtual hug right now because I need one. Do me a favor. Mm-hmm. Tell my boy Chris Webber what up, mm-hmm. though. With Juwan, I'm not upset because he gave me everything that I could have ever asked for in his real first year of Michigan basketball. And then I can only think it's going to get better because you think about him walking into a recruit's house. I played against Jordan. I played with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and I can show you how to get that back. I can show you how to be a professional. And at Michigan, he's pumping out grown men over there. I'm really happy to see the program going in the way, in the direction it is. And I think we'll be dancing real soon again. I really do.
Well, I mean, this year was just an incredible ride, and unfortunately, one of their best players, their heart and soul of the team, and Isaiah Livers, couldn't play. But, you know, UCLA's supposed best player blew his ACL out, so everybody's playing without their best player in that regard, and you just got to tip your cap. I'm not going to sit here and denigrate or criticize a bunch of Michigan players just didn't file in their best games. I'm not saying best efforts, their best production. And you know, when we had Juwan on the show, Jeff, a couple of weeks ago, I pointed out to him a tweet that he sent out announcing not one, not two, but three McDonald's All-Americans Michigan's recruiting class. And Juwan said, "Welcome to the club." He retweeted out a Michigan tweet with his own personal account saying, "Welcome to the club." And he's not welcoming. The club is not Michigan Athletics. The club is McDonald's All-Americans. And that's his that's his way of flexing in the manner in which you said he can flex figuratively, you know, when he's recruiting. I'm one of you, so I understand what it takes for you to get to the next level and also win at this level. So he's got that working, and it's been highly successful so far, and I'm ecstatic. It's the only way I can describe it.
Can you do me one big favor? Sure. Could you pass on a what up, though, to Chris Webber for me, please? Sure. I really appreciate it.
It'd be my pleasure, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Thank
Jeff
you.
In Detroit. Very good, Jeff.
All right, Jeff. What up from Jeff in Detroit?
Yes, sir. You know, what up, though?
Well, as always, ask Chris what he thinks about the Detroit Lions. That's his team.
That's his team.
Right?
Probably feels the way you feel about the Jets, I would imagine.
Remember
they
that?
They take a quarterback.
What did he talk about? He said he was going to join the Million Man March years ago. Remember that?
Million Man March, yeah. He's like, I was at the Million Man March, Rich, and I also joined the Million Man.
That's what he did say. Yeah, that. Yeah. So he's going to be joining us at the top of the next hour, about 8 minutes from now. And then Mike Pereira will join us next hour as well, former head of NFL refs, NFL on Fox, and college football on Fox rules analyst. And one of the reasons we're having him on is the old Sky Judge is up for conversation amongst league membership. And from what I'm hearing it could be sort of a, because always when the NFL goes through a radical change, they talk about it and then table it. And then they talk about it and then they table it. And then they bring it up in front of the membership and it either fails or they pull it back. And then they bring it up to membership one more time and it passes. Like it's a slog. It's a slog. It's a long slog. And that's why the pass interference change of being reviewable a couple of years ago was so shocking. It was just like, yeah, we're not even going to pilot it. You know, hey, the Canadians do it, so we can try it. And as we all know, it was an unmitigated failure, and it was a one and done. It was a one hit wonder, and it wasn't even a hit.
Not even a hit.
Okay. Wasn't even that thing you do. It was the thing that you never do again. Doesn't have the same catchy title.
It was like that Barbie song.
Okay, see ya. Out.
I'm a Barbie girl.
Stop. So, but even that added some run.
Yeah.
I'm hearing it's going to be a modified, you know, where the booth upstairs, the Sky Judge, interjects, intrudes, stops play when something that involves like a clear and obvious out of bounds or men on the field or something to do with something that's not objective, whatever that is. I'm eager to see the language on this, what it is. But one thing that is not going to be placed in front of the membership to vote on, from what I'm told, is fumbling through the end zone.
Oh, imagine that.
However, I am told that in the whole process of talking about it and tabling and then talking and tabling and talking and not bringing up, but just talking and then bringing it up eventually because they think it might pass. I'm told this is coming. The train has left the station, sir, and I am going to be vindicated and on the right side of history. And
no,
you, sir, you, sir, will be the exact opposite. You will be the naysayer. You will be the person using dial-up as I am Wi-Fi my way into the right and justice portion of the NFL world. Trust me on that. I'm spitting truth. We'll talk about it with Mike Pereira. Chris Weber joining us as well.